Oh, thank you all for coming. Ah, this is the greater joining. And really the idea is that I cannot really join with you totally unless I let go of my self-identity. Sometimes it seems like we can join here, but it's always limited. And the true joining is in the light of your mind. And that's what's occurring here, always. And that's where you experience yourself as one. And you can... Hi, Sharon! Hi! Ha! That's when you look beyond the appearances. That's when you no longer see your brother as a body. That's when you recognize yourself and everyone and everything. Ha! Wow. I just want to read something. I found this in chapter 20, and it's called The Consistency of Means and End. It's like we have said much about discrepancies of means and end and how these must be brought in line before your holy relationship can only bring you joy. But we've also said the means to meet the Holy Spirit's goal will come from the same source as does his purpose. And being so simple and direct, this course has nothing in it that is not consistent. And the reason why I want to read this is that the course is really, really simple. Like there's not a lot that's asked of you to enter into a greater joining. It's just that there might be resistance to apply the means. That could be the only thing. So I just want to remind myself of the simplicity of what's being offered me. Being so simple and direct, this course has nothing in it that is not consistent. The seeming inconsistencies or part you find more difficult than others are merely indications of areas where means and end are still discrepant. And this produces great discomfort, as we all know. This need not be. This course requires almost nothing of you. It is impossible to imagine one that asks so little and could offer more. And I remember in the beginning, I was working really, really hard. I was working so hard to obtain something. And finally it dawned on me that the only thing that was asked of me is to hand it all over each and every second and to not rely on any of my own ideas or means. And in that sense, it's so simple that you keep forgetting. It's like in this moment, it's really the only moment where I can remember God, where I can release my self-identity and come completely with open mind and open hands unto God. I can't do it another time. I can't do it before or after. In that sense, there is no before or after. There's really always only now. And that makes me so happy. Because it doesn't really matter what happened a moment ago or what might happen later. It's like it's over. This is really the only instant. And that's how simple it is. So if I let go of whatever I think I am or whatever is in my mind, I cannot not experience the release. And in that sense, the love of God that's all around me. And that's the only thing there is. It's what I am, it's what you are. I am the life, the way and the truth. And that is what you are with me, as one. Ha. Okay. The period of discomfort that follows the sudden change in a relationship from sin to holiness may now be almost over. To the extent you still experience it, you are refusing to leave the means to him who changed the purpose. You recognize you want the goal. Are you not also willing to accept the means? If you are not, let us admit that you are inconsistent. The Holy Spirit is never inconsistent. Help is always there. It's always up to me to ask for it. You know, and if I'm not happy, it's because I forgot. If whatever seems to trouble me, it can only be because I am identifying myself with a self-identity, with a body, and I forgot that that's not what I am. I am not a body. I really, truly am as God created me. I'm unlimited. I'm eternal. I'm all-powerful. And it's like the Course is really as simple as that, that all that's asked of me is to let go of all my limitations, which is, it's like your mind is all powerful, and as a human being, all you have done is use that power to believe in a limited idea, in an idea of separation. That's why it's only a course in undoing, in the letting go of all your ideas, because none of them have any meaning, because they all come from an idea of separation. And you're not separate. You're not a body. And I'm going to read, because it says it so beautifully in here. A purpose is attained by means, and if you want a purpose, you must be willing to want the means as well. How can one be sincere and say, I want this above all else, and yet I do not want to learn the means to go it, to get it? All right, it keeps. To obtain the goal, the Holy Spirit indeed asks little. He asks no more to give the means as well. The means are second to the goal, and when you hesitate, it's because the purpose frightens you and not the means. Remember this, for otherwise you will make the error of believing the means are difficult. Yet how can they be difficult if they were merely given you? And in that sense, it's so true, because all I have to do is ask for help. And everything is done for me, through me. It's like nothing is asked of me other than that, just handing it over. So how could this be difficult? It's really not difficult. It's like the moment I perceive difficulty is because I'm in resistance to the release of whatever it is I'm hanging on to. I'm not willing to let go of my belief in a certain idea that I value. And it always has to do with my identity as I think I am. And I'm always wrong, because it's not what I am. I never was, I am not now, I never will be a body. Amen. And it's like, where am I? Okay. When you hesitate, it's because the purpose frightens you and not the means. Remember this, for otherwise you will make the error of believing the means are difficult. Yet how can they be difficult if they are merely given you? They guarantee the goal, and they are perfectly in line with it. And before we look at them a little closer, remember that if you think they are impossible, your wanting of the purpose has been shaken. For if a goal is possible to reach, the means to do so must be possible as well. Okay, and this is the section that says it all. It is impossible to see a brother as sinless and yet to look upon him as a body. And it's like, it's so important, because what the Course really offers you is a new way of looking. It's like, above all else, I want to see. And the only way I can see is if I start looking beyond the body. I have to go past the physical appearances, because they change all the time. It's like, it's not what you are. Reality is changeless. And you can also see, like, the moment you look at someone and you see him as a body is the moment when you start judging. It's like, it's inevitable. The two go together. You're in perception. Okay. Is this not perfectly consistent with the goal of holiness? For holiness is merely the result of letting the effects of sin be lifted. And so what always was true is recognized. To see a sinless body is impossible. See, this is so great, because the human mind really tries to sort of make sense of this world, to try to combine God and this world that you see with your two eyes. And they don't go together. They have nothing to do with each other. It's like, God does not know of a place of separation. That's impossible. So a sinless body is an impossible idea. The body is neutral. It's not sinful or sinless. It's always the mind. Now I lost my place. Ha! Ha! Is this okay? So to see a sinless body is impossible, for holiness is positive and the body is merely neutral. It's not sinful, but neither is it sinless. As nothing which it is, the body cannot meaningfully be invested with attributes of Christ or the ego. Either must be an error, for both would place the attributes where they cannot be, and both must be undone for purposes of truth. Well, that's why Jesus says, like, he resurrected and the body literally disappeared, because he had no longer illusions about it. The idea of separation was no longer of value to him. He'd seen the complete impossibility of it and the meaninglessness of it, and it disappeared, because you can no longer value when you see it that it doesn't have any value. It cannot not disappear. And that's really the only thing that's going on. You come in with a whole bunch of ideas about yourself that some you're not even aware of. And in the light, everything surfaces and you're being confronted with those ideas that you hold about yourself. And you will think that somebody's attacking you, and you will think that somebody is addressing you, or you defend yourself from the truth. But those are moments where you're really are being asked to look at those ideas and just be willing to let them go, because they're really in the way of the experience of the totality of your mind. You're not a little dust in the wind. We were laughing because it's really a horrible song. It just only tells you that you're dust in the wind. It's like, there's no solution in that song at all. All it says is you're gonna die. And in that sense, what we call the circle of life is really a circle of death. You know, life is not a circle. It's like that's what a human mind tries to make sense of, this place where there's a seeming cycle going on. It's like, you know, everything dies and then it grows again. But it's like, when you look at it, it really doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. And when you really look at your devotion to death, I was shocked when it was shown to me. It's like, oh my God, I was really, really devoted to death. That That was my solution. That was my escape from pain and misery, and if I didn't like it here anymore, I could always die. But it's not a solution, because your mind. And it's really not until I let go of all my ideas about myself, I will not keep, how does it, manifesting those ideas. Ha. Huh. Let me not forget to tell you that I love you. I really do. It's like I cannot not. There's not, I don't know how many, there's not this many bodies in here. There's really just one mind in here. And I just happen to be the one who's talking. But you will see that whoever's up here will always say the same thing. It comes in a different package and it's said a different way, but it's the same message that's being conveyed. None of this is so, it's time to go home. Just let go of everything and be with God. And give it away. Give what's been given. You have to give it away. God, I'm all over the place, aren't I? Ha. It's like I just want to give it all at once. And I just don't know how to do that, you know. So you try. But just how do you convey the unreality of this place and the glory of God? How do you do that? I don't know. Ha. The glory of what you are. Ha. Wow. Ha. Ha. The other thing is that it starts with really seeing that I am the cause of my own experience, that nobody's doing anything to me. And I would like to share like a personal experience that was really sort of the beginning of my own undoing, because that's what it was. And it was a moment where I was so upset and angry with my partner, and I was shouting at him, and I was saying like, you don't love me and you don't respect me and you're not faithful to me. And it was literally as if someone just lifted the curtain and showed me what really was going on. And what really was going on was that I didn't love myself, I didn't have any respect for myself, and I wasn't faithful to myself. And it was so excruciatingly painful that it was like 1,000 daggers were in my heart, and I died. And I could see that I'd rather put it out there on someone else or something else than taking responsibility for it. And I tried to, but it was too late because I'd seen it. So for a moment I was completely devastated and like, oh my God. But like within seconds it completely shifted, because all of a sudden I was free, because oh my God, if nobody's doing it to me, it can change. I'm no longer a victim of my partner. He doesn't have to change. I'm the one who can change his mind. And it doesn't mean that you know how right away, but it has to start there, that you really see that nobody's doing anything to you. And as long as I really think that that's true, like I'm lost, you know, I'm still a victim. And you're not. And it was really only in the asking for help can these things be shown to you. Because I notice that as a human, you always want to be busy with things. You know, you're always busy, and you try to not be quiet because then thoughts come up and you're left with yourself. So it really starts with, I am the cause. And I'm responsible for what I see, and I choose the feelings I experience, and everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for, and I receive them as I have asked. Like, I love Claire's teaching because she's really lawful. She really teaches that's just the law of the mind, you know? It's like, you get what you ask for. So what are you asking for? And the moment I really asked for help, it was there right away. The moment I really asked, like, I just want to go home. I'm done here. I can't do this anymore. The help was there. So nothing is stopping you in doing exactly and receiving exactly what you want. And it doesn't take time. Salvation is instantaneous. That's what's so amazing. That's what I loved about this book. Because everything was too slow for me. I just couldn't stand it. It's like another book to read. When I got the course, I was like, I can't read this book. I need to go home now. I don't have time to do this. It's too frustrating. I was desperate. And then when the experience comes where you're lifted out and you're in a completely different state of mind and you feel the love and you know that you're totally taken care of. And I mean, then I was able to read the book because now I knew where it was leading me, you know, but it was really just the beginning. You get a glimpse and it's really just the beginning of your journey home, how you're starting to remember how you did it, because it's already done. It's really over. You're really just reviewing how it happened. So how are we doing on time? We have to share equally. 4:30. Oh, I think we're good. And then it's so incredible, and so this is where we come to the greater joining, that I was really afraid of you. I was really afraid of you because you were other than me, and I didn't want to have anything to do with you. You were scary to me. I'm not going to let you in. Are you kidding? And the moment I had an experience of light and I recognized it as such, because you've had moments of light anyway, but I didn't recognize them as such. But the moment I was told that was what light was and where the true joining occurs, I wasn't afraid anymore, because that's when we truly join. I was afraid of the other characters in my dream, but that was only in the moment that I was identifying with my character. But the moment I don't identify with the character but the light in my mind, you are that with me. It cannot not. Then I recognize you as myself. And we're home together already in heaven, where we truly are right now, because we never left. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Ha. Wow. In that sense, the greater joining is also the holy instant, when you come together with a brother and you're really in a true desire to meet in truth and not in your story. It's like in the relinquishment of whatever it is that I think I am, and to truly meet you, like beyond form, beyond time and space. And then everything disappears. The world truly... It's like my favorite lesson, I'm forever an effect of God. Because I am. Because you are. And it's like we keep saying the same thing over and over, but the experience of the release of your mind is everything. Ha. And the thing is, as long as I stay in observation, I can't get there. I can't have an experience as long as I'm in observation, as long as I'm looking at what others are doing, or it's like, it's really, I have to go within to where that is in me. Thank you. I love you with all my heart. Oh, I think I'm going to give it to you, Glad.
Ah, this is real, real. We get everything here. Wow. Thank you, Winnie. I love you. Thank you. Is everybody fried yet? I am. I'm totally fried. Everything I thought I understood a moment ago has disappeared. You know, and I really don't know what I'm doing standing up here pretending to teach something, because literally everything I knew is gone. And I know I'm in the middle of this incredible transition to an entirely new self, and it feels kind of, I don't understand it yet. It feels kind of uncomfortable. Is anybody else going through this, or is this just me? Right. Ah, there's one in the back. Thank you very much. Ah, I feel like the elephant in the room sometimes. When the shift is this profound in me, I'm speechless. I'm literally without a way to organize this in my mind. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a very good thing, right? But there are moments, and I guess I wanna offer you your discomfort for a moment, all right? And let you know that it's okay that you're uncomfortable. Because you're exploring new territory, you've been broadened. Your range of consciousness has been expanded, right? You're including in frequencies of light that you hadn't known was you. I think we call that forgiveness, isn't it? What we call? Yeah? Yeah. You know, after a while, we begin to get Ward was expressing it beautifully yesterday morning when he was talking about we get used to the devastation and we actually begin to treasure these moments. And I think that's where I am now. Mitch really discombobulated me this morning, and I'm very grateful for that. Because I didn't really want that me anymore anyway. I could feel the limitation that was. You know, we really have to look at ourselves and see whether we really want to be this anymore. And that's what Mitch offered us so beautifully this morning. Okay. So I had to take a moment away, and I had to get some gas, and I had the dog in the car. So the dog locked the keys in the car while I'm getting the gas. And I'm going, well, this is about right. This is the kind of stuff that happens. This is the kind of reflection you get. Everything's just kind of a little not there. You know, and not only, and I'm just going to describe my own experience because it may or may not be helpful to you. Because it feels like sometimes when I go through one of these major shifts that I feel even more vulnerable. I feel even more judged in a particular way, or uncomfortable with how I am with myself. And I don't care what you call it. I could be more fearful, or I could be more guilty, or I could feel more misunderstood, or whatever that is. But it seems when I go through those shifts that's how I experience it for a moment. And I recognize, and this is what I want to teach myself. I want to teach myself over and over again that we're always being presented with our own perfection. This dream has only and always been my misunderstanding of that perfection. And so what do? I hear someone offering me a suggestion, and I hear it as a criticism. And I feel that, not only emotionally, but I feel it physically within me, okay? And what's that I do with that? There's a point in me where I feel judged or guilty. It's physical. Can you feel what I'm talking about? Okay. It feels physical, right? And what I have to recognize is I've misunderstood that experience. I've given it a name from the past, right? I've given it a name, and I'm defending myself against that experience, right? Isn't that what we do? What if I'm wrong about what that experience actually is? What if it's actually the light? Because I always am more sensitive to it just after a big awakening experience, okay? What if that experience is actually the light coming in? It's the light that's actually attempting to penetrate this obstacle, this observation, this obstruction. Because I'm a defense against the light. Right. what I've been as a human being, a defense against the light. You know, that's why this course starts and begins with nothing I see means anything. None of my thoughts mean anything. None of the names I've given to justify my defense against the light are true. Right? And so we're more sensitive to it. Hi, Juby. So we're more sensitive to it, it seems, as we break into a new horizon, if you will. If we let go, all right? So what if this time? What if this time, instead of my usual reaction to it, I didn't defend myself? This is what you were just reading. So beautifully. There's a moment in the transition where we resist. We're more resistant. We're resistant based on a past reference, okay? So what if this time? This time. I accepted that experience as a gift that was being given to me. I received the light instead of held it off from me, right? Because as I do that, something shifts in me that I'm no longer the me that's being transformed, but I become the light that I was resisting. All of it. I become that which resisted and that which wishes is offering me everything. Because each moment I'm being presented with the perfection of what I am. All this has been is been a contraction away from an entire acceptance of it, right? Breathe. Yeah, it's fun to be fried. Because now you're more sensitive. You're more sensitive to those places in you where you used to resist. You can, and you're less tolerant of them as well. All right? I remember one time I called the master teacher and I said to him with such profound understanding, "Dear one, the gap between where we are and what's going on here is getting wider and wider." And he said, "Yes, it is." He says, "And when it gets wide enough, this whole thing will go." Who is he talking about but me? The gap between what I know to be true and where I'm resisting. When I'm no longer trying to cover up that gap within me, but I become the gap itself, I then become the vehicle of this light transformation. I've always been afraid of the gap. I've been always afraid to stand quietly in the place where I feel most vulnerable. But when I have no place else to go, when I've tried everything else and nothing else works, when I stand in the impossibility of this dream, in my own vulnerability, I will learn of the singularity of self, because that place is also the place, that place of vulnerability, that place of guilt, is the place where the resurrection is occurring. And it's occurring in me. My problem as a human being has been that I've organized my thoughts. Do you think God organizes his thoughts? Nah, he doesn't. I want to control it. I was listening to a talk from Dear One today, and he was saying, he says, if you organize your thoughts, you're going to feel guilty about them. Okay? And that's okay, but you've got to take responsibility for what you've organized in your mind. Okay? To stand up here without any organization and just let it flow. It's great. It's really great. It's an incredible experience, because if I'm not trying to organize it, the truth will flow through very easily and naturally. Okay. So the relinquishment of the identity is an ongoing process. It doesn't happen just once and then you're free. Why? Because we seem to come back into this dream and reorganize it again, huh? So it isn't about finding perfection within the dream, but recognizing the perfection that's in my mind. Uh-huh. That's always been there. That's been obscured and confused by the imagery that I have appeared to put out in front of me that seems to justify my separation, my sense of guilt, my sense of fear, all of those things. So the course, the mind training, if it has any value, which it does, that value comes from your application of it in a manner which will interrupt the manner in which you've been using the light in the past, right? Interrupt it. Okay. Sometimes that looks like more pain. Sometimes it looks like a little discomfort. But all that is an opportunity for me to perceive differently, isn't it? Right? I've got vibration going on in my pocket. I could perceive differently here. Guys, don't be afraid to be real. don't be afraid to include everything that you are, including what doesn't seem to be spiritually correct, right? Because it's only when you stand in where you don't want to go will this open up for you into a brand new experience, right? Where you're able to actually perceive it differently. If you don't go there, how can you perceive it differently? Here's from Dear One. Here's the problem you have. For he will send you his witness if you will but look upon him. Always present to you is your own perfection. It's impossible that not be true, because you are seeking perfection, and you must seek it within your own mind because it's not out there. And if the perfection is only in your own mind, you must allow yourself to see perfection outside of you, and it must be contained in what you have previously rejected. This is called forgiveness. Okay? Here's the problem. I say to you that forgiveness is an act. Forgiveness is the action of the moment of your mind, of the release of the objective associations of the form by which you have judged your brother. I'm going to do that again because that's one of his more complicated sentences here, okay? Forgiveness is the action of the moment of your mind, of the release of the objective associations of the form by which you have judged your brother. So that's a release not only of the form, the space, but of the time as well. It's a release of the moment in which you have judged your brother, right? Let me ask yourself, because I'm asking myself this question. Would I judge my brother if I knew it was impossible to be judged in my own personal experience, right? Where do you challenge your own perception of judgment in your experience, knowing that God does not judge? Where do you challenge your own experience of that? This is what I'm talking about when I say there's a moment of discomfort where you have to be wrong for a moment, right? I've been the obstacle. I have to be willing to be mistaken about my perception. Who's the perceiver? Come on, answer me. Who's the perceiver? I am. We all are. Each individually are you are the interpreter of the entirety of your experience. All right? That's where you start. That's where I have to start. I'm the perceiver. Okay? Just one more little thing. How are we doing time-wise? I have no idea, right? We're good. Okay. Okay. This action that we just talked about has nothing to do with the observation of forgiveness. The observation, are you ready? The observation of forgiveness, it's what sin is. Once more, the observation of forgiveness provides you with an act where you can specialize what you intend to forgive and what you intend to hold on to. Do you see that? That's a fact, the immediacy of salvation, all right? What is judgment but the observation of an act outside of your own mind to which you are reacting, right? And I'm the one that does that. Remember always that you see what you seek. For what you seek, you will find, because it's in your mind. Now the ego, the self-identity, finds what it seeks, and only that. It couldn't possibly find any more than it seeks, because it seeks to justify itself within the form of its own association. Wow. That's an incredible idea. The ego, you, me. I'm only seeking to justify myself. It's all we do. And we're afraid to admit it. We're really afraid to admit it. Because if we admit it, we're going to have to admit to our own corruption. We're going to have to stand in that experience of guilt that we created this entire dream to avoid. And when we stand there, we're going to find that it never was true to begin with. And I can tell you that, and you can have all sorts of teachers get up in front of you and tell you that, but you don't want to go there. I promise you, you don't want to go there, because I don't want to go there. I still don't want to go there. As many times as I've done this, as many times as I dived into that place, I still don't want to go there. Thank God I don't have a choice. Okay. It's not what I think it is. It's not the name that I gave it. Okay. All right. Just a couple more, and then I'll let Master Devavan take over. Couldn't possibly find any more than it seeks, because it seeks to justify itself within the form of its own association. That's what all humans do. You are taught to do that in your own mind. You are taught to set up objective associations of separation and give the guy a separate name from you, and you have a separate name from him, even though you've all come from the single source of God. What impossible place to be in. Fortunately, it's only yourself, locked in your own identity. Fortunately, it's just you, locked in your own identity. All of this is just you, locked in your own identity, right? And what are we finally forgiving? Ourselves, for having done this. Thank you. Finally, the solution comes through grace. It doesn't come through me. It comes through grace. Right? We can call it a miracle too if we'd like. It doesn't matter. My only job is to let go of the rigid hold I have on what I think everything means. And then to stand in the quiet that is offered in that moment. And the perfection is there. The perfection is here, in this moment, in this present moment, in this holy instant that we have allowed to expand through our non-interference with it. In our not knowing what it means. Thank God there's a God. Mm-hmm. Thank God there's you. Because you have taught me again who I am, and I am so grateful for you. Thank you. Whoops, that's my phone.
Thank you so much, Gerd. Thank you, Vinny.
Thank you.
My part is very easy. I'm here to just thank myself, to be grateful for myself. An invitation has been extended to be part of a greater joining, right? We are all part of a greater joining. Thank you. Thank you. I'm actually just a technician here. But see, whatever you think you are part of, or the call is you have listened to and have followed that call, you become automatically part of the greater joining. Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. Mitch expressed it today in session with the simple words, God is, you ain't. God is, I ain't, in a human conception, in an idea of existence in time-space. So let's just, for a moment, let that greater joining really be absolutely clear in the mind, was what Vinnie said. You know, we're becoming aware of it's in the mind, it's mind. And acknowledge what that singularity of the joining is as yourself, in the recognition of yourself.